from Buffalo Creek. Having a little technical difficulties with the G's this morning. Finally got on the internet somehow or another. And today we're going to consider the city of Nineveh. We have looked and examined in great detail the message of Jonah, and we're going to see how Nineveh repented. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 3. And we'll see how Nineveh responded to the preaching of Jonah. If I can get over there. Look at verse 4. We've already covered this, but we'll get a little bit of the context. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Jonah had entered into the city of Nineveh preaching a plain and simple message of the righteous judgment of God. He warned the inhabitants that in 40 days they would experience the wrath of God. Jonah's message was not accompanied by any miracles to attest that he was sent from God. There were no signs or wonders accompanying his discourse. The message that he preached was not one of eloquence or scholarship. Yet Jonah preached exactly what the Lord bid him to preach. And God used it to bring about a mighty working of repentance among those heathen idolaters in Nineveh. And it proves once again that God will honor His word when it goes forth in simplicity, earnestness, and power. We don't need any gimmicks, gadgets, or frills. We don't need psychological ploys. We just need to preach the truth as it is in Jesus and leave the saving up to God. And that's what Jonah did. Now, another thing that's worthy of notice is the way that Jonah preached to the people. He wasn't trying to impress anyone. He didn't go there in view of a call. There was no money to be made there. He made no pretense of popularity, wealth, or exalted social status. Jonah came simply as a messenger of Jehovah. Nothing more, nothing less. And oh, that God would impress upon the hearts of all of His preachers that our chief purpose is to please God by simply being His servant and preaching the message that He gives us from the Word of God. I fear that too many modern day preachers are far more concerned with what people will think and what they'll say about their messages than they are about the glory and the honor of God. May God be pleased to give every one of His preachers the grace to say with Paul and to mean it sincerely, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The human instrument that God was pleased to use in bringing about the repentance of Nineveh is worthy of note. Think about the one that was preaching repentance to these Ninevites. Jonah knew exactly what it was to disobey God. He had also drank of the bitter dregs of repentance, and he'd also tasted of the sweet springs of God's mercy. There was no better man qualified to preach to the people than Jonah. His own life was a testimony to the exceeding richness of the mercy of God and the miracle of salvation. God proved to be a sign to the people of Nineveh that God was ready to extend mercy to their unworthy souls if they would hearken to the message of this prophet raised up by God. Today we'll consider briefly the faith of Nineveh. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. The faith of the Ninevites was preceded by what? The preaching of the Word of God. That's the normal course of action. Okay? Their faith was preceded by the preaching of the prophet Jonah. Just like Romans 10:17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The faith of the Ninevites was owing to the preached word being attended by the divine and irresistible power of Almighty God. Spiritual hearing of the word is the spring of all repentance, faith, and good works. And faith is a gift of God. God had to intervene. God had to spiritually open their ears to hear, their eyes to see the danger they were in. And this hit me as I read this. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. It doesn't say that the Ninevites believed Jonah. Rather, they believed God. Meaning that they believed what God said to be true through this prophet. To believe God refers not only to faith in His person, but also consists of casting oneself upon God in such a way that you trust Him and what He declares to be absolutely true. The Ninevites believed the God who Jonah represented was the one and only true God. Their mind had been changed. That's what repentance is about. They believed that Jonah had been sent by God with a message just for them. Their faith was based upon the Word of God, and it was mixed with love and hope and trust that was God-given. The fruit of their faith was also evident for all to see. Their response to Jonah's message gave evidence that a work of grace had been done in their hearts. They did not merely go on about their business as they had formerly done. They abandoned their false hopes. They quit serving their idols. They began to humble themselves before Jehovah, the Almighty God, the one who had told them to repent. They responded in faith. They believed God. They did believe that Jehovah was a God of wrath and judgment, worthy to be feared, reverenced, and obeyed. And it prompted them to cast off their normal attire in exchange for the garments of repentance and mourning over sin. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Now notice, they did not do that. They didn't put on these garments to be saved. I think they did it in response to God's work in them. And it showed everybody else, I believe God, I'm repenting, I'm turning, I am having a change of mind about the way that I was, and I'm turning to God. They fasted to prove the sincerity of their repentance and to show forth the heaviness of their hearts because of their sins. Where the Ninevites had once enjoyed the pleasures of sin, they lived to eat, drink, and be merry. Now they were greatly troubled over as they pondered the message and thought about the consequences of their sins. The message was repent, or in 40 days, you're going to feel the wrath of Almighty God. They were troubled about that. They were convicted. And this conviction led to the repentance of sin. By fasting and putting on sackcloth, the people acknowledged their guilt before a holy God and humbled themselves before Him. Their faith was proved by their deeds. They believed God, and then they showed forth their faith in repentance and humility. And again, to me, this is one of the greatest miracles of the Old Testament that most people never consider. One Hebrew prophet who had just come out of the gut of a whale with a message of repentance. He didn't go into Nineveh and say, I want to teach you how you can be your best self, how you can love yourself. Now he went there and said, repent. Let's face it. People hate to be told to repent, because it implies, yeah, you're wicked. You're going the wrong way. If you don't turn, if you don't have a change of mind, you're going to experience the wrath of God. Who wants to hear that? And to think that Jonah went there, well, I mean, I guess after 3 days and nights in the belly of a whale, you don't fear much after that. I mean, you're down in the depths of the sea, miraculously being kept alive by God as you're experiencing the chastisement, vomited out on the land and told to go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't have any fear of anything but God. He did not dress up the message to make it more attractive. He just preached what God told him to. And God worked in the hearts of the people. It is a miracle in the old. It's one of the things that gives me a lot of hope. I look at our nation, and we are surrounded by idolatry, ungodliness, unrighteousness, injustice, deceit, cruelty, murder, sexual immorality. I mean, we are as heathen as Nineveh, as a nation. And this message of repentance and faith is what God used. So I have hope. If God can turn an entire city through the message of one fearless prophet, empowered by God, could he not do the same for Chesapeake, South Point, Huntington, Colgrove, Buffalo Creek? Could he not do the same? Is his arm shortened that he cannot save? We don't know where the elect are. So let's keep preaching and praying. A wondrous change had taken place in the city of Nineveh that day. An entire city turned from their idols to serve the living and the true God. From the least to the greatest, God had done a marvelous work of grace in the heart. Where once there had been pride and arrogance, now there was humility and meekness. Where once there had been revelry and worldliness, now there was a sincere seeking after God and prayer being lifted up. Where once there had been feasting, now there was fasting. Oh, that God would be pleased to do a similar work in the midst of our cities. The repentance of Nineveh was one of the most remarkable outpourings of God's grace in all of Old Testament history. And we'll stop there.